I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, and a happy new year to everybody. As we enter 2022, climate change has gripped us. We've gone from spring to abject winter within the course of just a few hours on yesterday. So it's here, the climate change. It'll be the next big push. We've got plenty to get to today. I had realized, actually yesterday, I believe it was, this is my fifth year anniversary here at WYAB, a station that will allow me to say the things that basically no other station, none of the Mississippi, the WGOP stations might say. But I've actually been doing this for 5 years. It was actually kind of funny because I was looking at, you know, looking at changes at the beginning of New Year's, same with anything, people's careers, your personal life, you're always looking to make some changes, see how you can improve things. This is just a natural tendency we have, not that the date actually makes any difference. We're always looking at that, and I still want to, you know, evolve the show. But I did think it's kind of interesting to go back and look at the last 5 years personally, and kind of what has transpired during the course of this show. And it the country has changed a great deal since I came on air. I came on air immediately after Herman Cain. Is that right? Yeah. Herman Cain had dropped his syndication deal, so the slot was open, and I took the slot from Herman Cain, and I came in immediately. It was pretty much an anti-government guy. And I think this caught some people by surprise. I do remember that I was challenging the drug war. That was not a Herman Cain issue, trust me. But it's interesting to me, over the course of the last 5 years, I would imagine a heck of a lot more people are what I would classify as anti-government. Many people might just think that they're anti this government. Maybe they weren't so much anti-government while Trump was in office, but now they feel the need to resist what's going on, particularly in the age of COVID, where the federal government has overreached so much. But this is the kind of power within the federal government that I railed against since the day I became a host here from 9 to 11 o'clock. And that's largely because, as a libertarian, we do oppose these massive governments. They're no good. It doesn't even take a crisis for them to encroach on your lives. But now I would say, during the course of the last 5 years, particularly in the last 2 years, people are kind of looking at governments and saying, hey, wait a second. You guys are in just about everything. I was anti the two-party system since the day I came on air 5 years ago, and that was probably not something that you heard a lot on talk radio. But during the course of the Trump term, where he battled even some within his own party, and then we get into the 2020 elections, more and more people I see are saying these two parties, it's just a uniparty, two wings of the same crooked bird. And I believe that's become more popular. I came on air from the day one. I didn't start False Flag Friday until probably a year or so into my show, but I have talked about, I am unapologetically anti-war. That does not make me a pacifist, but I'm against all of these Middle Eastern wars and railed against them for the past 5 years, and I would say during the last 2 to 3, and a lot of the credit goes to Donald Trump on that, during the last 2 to 3, more and more people have kind of seen through the defense contractor game and the endless wars. And I was anti-war before anti-war was cool. I was anti-Patriot Act. I came on here long before people really were able to see how this is being used against him, particularly after January 6th and during the Trump administration where he was spied on for Russiagate. People now realize that the Patriot Act was no good, particularly conservatives who kind of embraced it because it was a George Bush Republican Congress creation. I've done 5 years now of shows on Wednesdays of Hump Day Health being anti-Big Pharma. And people didn't catch on originally to that. And now we've seen with this disastrous rollout of this shot that has been mandated for people that doesn't work. And now people are really kind of caught on to the Big Pharma game. I was anti-social media before social media really showed its true colors, particularly with the censorship of the last several years. And I don't know I'm really winning that battle. Most people are still posting to Facebook and Twitter, and there's still some value to sharing news on those networks. But as far as Silicon Valley, those things are kind of showing themselves as kind of the societal cost we're going to pay for social media. Now, during the course of the Trump administration, I started warning very early in his term about some of the picks that I saw going in. I discovered the snakes that he was appointing to his administration. I was rebuffed on those things continually, but I think in the end, most people see the William Barrs and the Christopher Wrays and the John Boltons, all of the lobbyists that were infesting the Trump administration, including Big Pharma itself. And now 3 years after I started talking about those things, you've got Donald Trump going out and hawking these vaccines. And I actually believe, I've seen some videos, some people have shared some things with me, of even some of the most ardent Trump supporters are starting to really kind of question what's going on here. And I think that will become popular as well. That's just my opinion. I'm definitely not a Trump fan. Doesn't mean I have any love for what's going on in our government right now. But I just think it's kind of interesting. I've been against the income tax. I'm hoping that'll catch on. I continue to stand against the drug war. I hope that will catch on. And above all, I'm anti-Federal Reserve, and I'm hoping that that starts to be cool. We've started to see people like Tucker Carlson actually talking about the Federal Reserve. When you see this inflation that's smacking people in the head, kind of hard to ignore them if you really want to get to the root cause of it. So hopefully that will finally catch on as well, too. So anyway, it's 5 years. Been very interesting to see the country turn and a lot of different kind of big things. Conservatives already didn't like the media. The media has gotten worse, but they're self-imploding as it stands. It's going to be very interesting to see exactly what goes on 2022, what's going to happen in 2022. I've been sharing a meme with somebody as everybody sends it around their Happy New Year's text messages. I ran across a meme, and it's a bunch of people standing behind a wall looking around the corner, and they're trying to open the door to 2022 with the broom handle because they're just not sure what's behind it. And I kind of share that sentiment. I'm really kind of wondering exactly what 2022 is. I thought about putting together some kind of a prediction show. But within the course of just 365 days, very hard to nail the timeline on that stuff. I'm not even convinced that they can't pull off COVID for another year. But it does feel like this is getting a little long in the tooth, particularly with this horribly weak variant that they've got us on right now. This may be. They're going to have to roll out something a lot more deadly and a lot more problem variant than Omicron. But can they really keep COVID going for another year? Or is this the year that they switch to climate change and restrictions on human behavior? Now that people have accepted these things, now that people will mask and stay home when they're told to, will you drive every other day? Will you be mandated into electric cars or to retrofit your house in certain ways? We're going to find out as they try to do this great switch from COVID to climate, the new authoritarian powers that they possess, they will roll out on us. I don't know if this is the year or not. Is this the year that we end up with an economic crisis? The stock market trading at all-time highs with just crazy, crazy valuations, money still pouring in, but the Fed kind of threatening that maybe they aren't going to keep printing quite as much. I don't take them at their word. I think they'll chicken out the second the market starts to fall. But eventually they lose control of that. But I've been predicting an economic crisis every year since 2015. So my predictions in that area have been absolutely abysmal. Is this the year that we start to see some level of a true currency crisis? I kind of doubt it. I think we're going to continue to see inflation, but maybe not a currency crisis. And then we have the midterms this year, where it is probably largely expected now that we are going to once again reshuffle the deck chairs on the Titanic by replacing one corrupt party with another corrupt party and thinking that we've taken some measure of progress, that we have fixed something by voting really hard for a bunch of R's because the D's have just become so absurd. They're almost caricatures of themselves at this point. They're like cartoon characters, AOC leading the charge. We also have things in foreign policy, war with Russia, all kinds of things could take place this year. But I have to say, I am just really bad at timing predictions. But I will say, I think I've got a track record in the last 5 years of pointing to some of the more corrupt institutions that have proven themselves to be corrupt, to pointing to some of the, you know, the professional league politicians and bureaucrats and administrators, these people that were put into the Trump administration and now are in the Biden administration, that are in our health authorities, that are the biggest corporations, and pointing out corruption to them for 5 years. And I think I've done a pretty good job of nailing all of that as it rose, not waiting for the headlines to see. I've been pointing out the CDC and the FDA and Big Pharma now for 5 years, and now finally that's being shown. So we'll see. We'll see 2022. Well, I am a hopeful person in your personal life. You can certainly separate from that. And that's going to bring me to another topic when I get back. I met a listener that had a kind of a question about that and a frustration with the show. Actually, I've run into a couple of frustrations with it that we'll talk about. And then we'll start getting into clips and all kinds of news. I do have some stuff on COVID, to be sure. The testing stuff, I just ran across a very interesting thing on testing with a lot of facts that certainly are not shared in many places. So we'll get to all that and more when we come back. Stay with me. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run.
So I'm doing a little bit of time today about this show. I don't know if that's bad form for talk radio, but it's just been very interesting to me to look at 5 years kind of snuck up on me, to be honest with you. And it's been interesting to see the changes that are taking place in this country. The changes of the minds of people more than the actual changes that are largely horrific, I've got to say. Whether it is critical race theory, whether it just any of these things that are taking place, it seems very quick. 5 years in American history, I would say, you know, if you go back 10 years, look at what's happened to the Democrat Party over the past 10 years. It's pretty stunning shift into some real bizarre areas, I got to say. The Republicans just kind of muddle along in their own levels of corruption and corporatism. The Democratic Party just decided to go wholesale crazy. I mean, just insane. And they've taken a lot of people with them. But over the past 2 years, when it comes to COVID, we've seen a lot of people follow a lot of stuff into crazy. So I did have, there was a caller to the show. On Friday, I did a rerun, but somebody called and left a message saying that, you know, very complimentary. I had absolutely no problems with this phone call whatsoever. But they basically said, you know, how much more can you do on COVID? It's kind of a one-topic show. And I think that is an absolutely spot-on criticism of the show, and I agree. But it is very difficult for me to look away with this stuff. What is happening right now is sociologically, psychologically, physically, the things that are happening to this country in the name of this virus are very, very difficult for somebody who is a libertarian guy who just wants to be left alone. Never have we been left alone less than we are right now. And the idea that, you know, there's so many different ways to look at this. And in 1930s Germany, you know, I don't know what they were talking about on talk radio, assuming they had any, you know, in Nazi Germany. I would imagine it was fairly controlled. But I would imagine there are a lot of people in Nazi Germany, just every day more things were happening. You just go, oh my God, did you see this? Did you hear about this? They're doing what now? And it turned out to be a huge moment in world history, didn't it? Now, I'm not saying we're headed towards Nazi Germany, but I am saying people have got to kind of break this conditioning that they have. And there's a lot been said about Joe Rogan interviewing Dr. Malone. I guess over the weekend it was released. It was a great interview. I do believe Joe Rogan may save the country. As odd as that is, he's not a conservative. He's just a guy that allows people to have a conversation with him without him losing his mind. And so I think that's extremely valuable. But a lot of talk about Dr. Malone and this mass formation psychosis that we're going through. I mean, it is difficult for me not to comment on that on a daily basis, because what's interesting to me is that it continues to take hold of people up to and including today, 2 years later, essentially, from the start of this thing, even while all of the facts roll in, that all of this fear is not only unjustified, the restrictions and everything are completely unjustified, not in any way scientific, not at all effective. And as that evidence rolls in, I do tend to cover it, because I had a friend yesterday was texting me last night. She's getting a lot of heat from her family, from friends. She's got a brother who's a doctor, and they are really pressuring her to get this shot. And she said, can you please send me whatever you've got on the fact that this thing doesn't work or that it's dangerous or whatever? I said, I can send you a ton of stuff. I got to be honest with you. You're just going to have to stick to your guns, or you're going to have to acquiesce, because people aren't changed by facts very often. And that may be kind of contradictory of what I'm talking about doing these shows, but I have this search to get something into people's minds where they just go, wait, what is that? Wait, what? I didn't know that. This is the moment I search for. You know, in meditation, they talk about you can sit down and meditate for 30 minutes, but there's only a few moments during that 30 minutes where you actually have stillness of the brain, but that's okay. That's really what you're searching for within meditation. I know I'm getting a little hippy-dippy on you, but that's like this show. I just want someone, you know, to hear something about the Federal Reserve at some point and go, oh, man, that might be something I need to pay attention to. I didn't know that. I didn't know they were responsible for the inflation. I thought it was Joe Biden. Boy, if I could reach two people and get them to stop blaming one party, one politician for inflation and understand economics a little bit better, then I will have not wasted my breath talking about the Federal Reserve. So I agree. This is kind of it's such an overarching topic, but again, it is a lot of Americans are dying. A lot of Americans are losing their financial hope in this country right now because this stuff continues. It is very hard for me, particularly as a libertarian, to not address it as it comes. If it was getting better and I was clinging to an old topic, I think I would be sick of it myself. But look around right now. Look at the hysteria. Jackson State has just gone to distance learning again. We've got, 1,700, 1,400 flights yesterday were canceled. I mean, we are still breaking systems down, not rebuilding them after 2 years. Things aren't coming back. They're actually regressing. I'm waiting for the words from our schools around here that we're going to remask our children, that they're getting, you know, trying to vax mandate, whatever it is, whatever failed policy they've had before, they're going to try to double down on it. And so it's very difficult to just let that go and go, oh, yeah, well, we talked about it a few months ago. Certainly people are up to speed. So, again, no criticism of the caller. I think she was exactly right. She's a very intelligent, great listener of the show. I've talked to her before. But just kind of to get inside my head, I don't know how you don't cover these things on a daily basis as new facts come out. And we've got some, you know, I always try to do something new. I also spoke to somebody the other day, and he was talking about the show, and he, you know, likes WYAB across the board, listens to us as his station for talk radio. But he said, you know, so many of the things you talk about, I mean, there's nothing I can do about that. And that's an interesting frustration, and it's fairly accurate to a point, too. The problem is that, no, you can't do anything about pretty much any of the problems that we have alone. But everybody has to do a little part. Now, part for me, I love resisting the political class. So there's that. I'm a bit of a contrarian in the first place, and I actually really enjoy it. But one thing I see with people, I do not let any of these big, huge issues, I don't care if it's COVID or endless wars or drug war or income tax, none of these things that I oppose, I do not let them destroy my joy and my sense of humor. I mean, I am somebody who seeks to live a happy life and to have some fun. It's like exercise. I do it almost every day. I put in the proper amount of time, but outside of the gym, I'm not constantly obsessed with being physically. I just go about my business. I put my time in. I put my hour and a half a day in, and then I go out and live my life. It's really the same to me with politics. I put my time in on the show. I do my little things of resistance. Many of them I can't talk about on air. But everybody's got to put in a little bit of time. I've said it before. You know, playtime is over. Look at what's going on in this country. Clay Edwards this morning had someone on that she's paying attention to the Mississippi Department of Education, and they're trying to roll out some of this social justice warrior stuff into our kids' curriculum. I'm sure this girl's got a life and family and has a good time, but she paid enough attention to that to bring that to everybody else's attention. So now parents can just take an hour out of their month to go to the school board meeting and say, over my dead body, you're going to start teaching critical race theory. And then take the rest of the month to just enjoy yourselves, but stop it in its tracks. You know what I mean? None of us can do anything on our own, but everybody with their little acts of resistance, putting in a little bit of time, just like exercise. I've said it before, conservatives just have not exercised their kind of protest resistance muscle. Conservatives are known as law and order people, and they have just obeyed every law and every mandate. You want to talk about people being compliant? I've talked about it over and over again. You give away a third of your income just because they're told to. I don't know what the difference is between that and someone who wears a mask just because Anthony Fauci said so. Both of them make no logical sense whatsoever. There's no productive use of either, but people do it. But don't let, you know, this battle against whatever you want to call it, globalism, the New World Order, the Biden administration or anything, steal the joy from your life. Still have some fun. People get so intense about this stuff, and it bleeds into other areas of their lives. And it's like they don't smile anymore because the fight is so urgent. Well, it is. It is. It's important. I've got kids. I want them to have a good country, but I'm not going to allow it to destroy, actually, my sense of humor or the fun that I have with my friends. I'll just avoid topics or just forget about them entirely. Most of the time, I'd rather talk about Seinfeld reruns than politics when I get off air. So there's that. But the other thing is, you'd say, well, I can't do anything about the big things you talk about. Well, that's true, but you can all strike out against these people just with little things, refuse to wear a mask, and disobey every policy that infringes on us if we don't see any personal benefit to it. So many people shrug their shoulders. Just stop the shrugging of your shoulders. Well, I knew I didn't want to, you know, this resignation, this learned helplessness of thinking, well, I can't tackle any of the big things, and I'm not even going to waste my time with the small things. I mean, no, it's time to do some level of resistance across the board. You can resist the shots and continue to spoil the scam that's enriching Big Pharma, along with the media and the political class, and stop supporting the system just basically in any way that you can find. I'd do this as well. That's a new muscle for conservatives who have really gone along with everything because you believe once it's a law, then you're a lawbreaker, or not, you know, now it's more policies than anything else. But, you know, we don't want to be the disruptive people. We're the more calm, rational people that don't cause a fuss. We don't protest. We don't riot. We don't do these things. And I'm not suggesting anybody riot, but it is time for conservatives to start resisting. You know, that's been a Democratic thing. I think if the school boards go nuts again in 2022, which is certainly a distinct possibility, there needs to be some administrative occupations going on, going into some of these buildings and sitting down cross-legged and being hauled out by the cops. I mean, at some point, you've got to resist. So anyway, those are things you can do. Quotes of the day real quick along those lines. Well, I'll go ahead and get all of them. This is a John Maynard Keynes I just happen to have here. By a continuing process of inflation, government can confiscate, secretly and unobserved, an important part of the wealth of their citizens. See, that's what you need to understand, that inflation is a stealth tax, and it hits the poor the most. You would really think that the Democrats would really be against the Federal Reserve if they care about poor people, but the truth of the matter is they don't. Here's Mahatma Gandhi. I thought about changing this show's title to Ungovernable. I really like that term. I think that describes me well. I don't want anybody. I've not found a person qualified to run my life or your life, and I kind of like the term. It's a little bit of a kind of gets stuck in your mouth, ungovernable, a little something. But anyway, here's Mahatma Gandhi. He said, "You assist an evil system most effectively by obeying its orders and decrees. An evil system never deserves such allegiance. Allegiance to it means partaking of the evil. A good person will resist an evil system with his or her whole soul." It's that little tiny Indian man with his spectacles and his pointy little nose telling you how to resist, and that you resist it with your whole soul. And then I think I had one other one here too that I had clipped. Where was that one? No, here it is. Sir Isaac Newton, I ran across this one. He says, "I can calculate the movement of the stars, but not the madness of men." Isn't that the truth? That's so true. That's the difference between science and, I guess, sociology. No one could ever imagine we can send ships everywhere and chart the heavens, but nobody could have seen what was coming over the past couple of years, to be sure. All right, into the news and my clips when we come back. Stay with me.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. I was just talking to somebody off air. Here's the big question. You know, what we're all very interested in, those of us who are, you know, kind of on the freedom and liberty side of things, is 2022 the year that the more and more people catch on to what's going on and start to resist it themselves? I was talking to the station owner. He said that even some people at MSNBC and CNN are going, you know, we're really kind of making a big deal over this Omicron thing. It's really not that bad. I mean, if MSNBC and CNN on air will actually admit that maybe they're hyperventilating a little bit about something, maybe there is hope for even the most diehards out there that are addicted to their hysteria. But, you know, it's difficult to believe that when you go out to the grocery store and you see everybody masked up. You know, the scariest thing about what I see with the masks right now is there's no mandate. You know, it reminds me a lot of when you've got a dog, you know, the invisible fence stuff. And you put the collar or the shock collar on them and you put the, I'm not endorsing these. I don't know if they're horrible or not. I mean, it was probably more dangerous for your dog to run out into the street than it is to train them to stay within a boundary. They've talked about, I think there were experiments with fish where they would put fish into a fishbowl and they'd put a clear divider in the middle of the fishbowl. So the fish would start swimming around and they would try to go to the other side of the tank and dunk, they would bounce off that barrier. But ultimately they found out that they could take that barrier away and the fish would still not go to the other side of the bowl because they'd just been conditioned to think that divider was still there. They never tested it again. They just became accustomed to their condition of being trapped in their one half of the bowl. Or like a dog that you train to not go out past certain boundaries on a shock collar. You can take the collar off. You can turn the fence off. The dog still just stays within the pen. That's what we've got now. I'm going into grocery stores that have got no signs requiring you to wear a mask. There is no mask mandate in the city where the store is, and yet there's 80, 90% of people. I played the clip last week of this doctor on CNN who said, oh, these cloth masks are completely inadequate for an aerosolized, an airborne disease. But it doesn't matter. These people have already been conditioned. It's that they won't stop. They are the goldfish that thinks the barrier's still up there. So I don't know. I vacillate back and forth, but so many people now seem to be getting sick. I know people, both vaccinated and unvaccinated, that are getting sick right now. And it seems, and there may be, I'm always looking for this, confirmation bias on my part, because a lot of people know how I feel, and so they only share certain stories with me. And so I believe I get a slanted version of the news, but there certainly are a lot of families out there experiencing some sickness in their family, and it seems like the people who got the shot are a little bit sicker than the ones who didn't. Now, there's no telling how many of us are wandering around with natural immunity already. I cannot figure out for the life of me why I have not contracted this disease. Now, I've got clips to play. I think I'll take a break and kind of regroup here and figure out how I want to play these things. Because there were some, these are always fascinating things, including stuff that's coming out of Fauci's mouth. I mean, that's the most interesting thing in the fishbowl scenario. But you can... In this fishbowl scenario, you put down the divider. The fish become accustomed to only living in their little quadrant of the bowl. Then you take the divider out. They still don't go to the other side because they're conditioned to be living in their smaller quarters. Now it's like they're screaming at the fish, there's no barrier. You can go across. Go, run around the whole tank. And the fish just won't listen. No. I don't hear that. I don't hear that. I mean, that's what it's become now. You have actually got officials going out there right now completely contradicting things they said just months ago. And people are still clinging to the old thing they said. It's not that Fauci's coming clean on anything. It's not like the CNN commentator is telling you, oh, I've been lying to you or just telling you really ridiculous stuff and couching it in science for the past 2 years. They're not doing that, but they are coming out and saying things that contradict everything they've said, but people hold on to the first view that they had because that's where, I guess, science drew its line. It's really quite fascinating. Fauci had a couple of interesting comments that really should upend the entire COVID narrative, but for some reason it doesn't. I'll play those when I come back. Stay with me. You know, one of the things that came out over the past few days that really should cause a lot of people to go, wait, what? Is the CDC revised its quarantining guidelines. They've gone from 14 days down to 10 days. Now they're down at 5 days. They say they may be changing that again. How about all those people, particularly you hourly employees, were forced out of work for 2 weeks? You felt fine after about 3 days, but they told you to stay home for another 11 days. Doesn't that kind of tick you off a little bit? Does it not show you this is nothing about health, that there's no exact science, that really we're going to circle back to? What we're going to find out is we had it right in 2019. Here's the thing. Virus gonna virus. I told you that, I think it was probably July or August of 2020, it was quite apparent that nothing was working, virus gonna virus. And that if you don't feel good, stay home. Boom! Pandemic over. That's basically all we needed to do. This idea of taking somebody who feels and has a tests for something, and Fauci is going to admit to something in just a second, bear with me, that you tested positive for something that you need to self-quarantine for 14 days, 2 weeks out of 52-week year, and many people had to do it multiple times. That makes no sense whatsoever, never has. So here was Anthony Fauci on a couple of the shows. God knows this man will not get off television, will he? I can't remember what show this was on, but here you go. He talks about just infection and... You know, this whole idea that we should be treating the vaccinated different than the unvaccinated. The unvaccinated are always the problem. They're always the danger. The vaccinated are fine. They're doing their duty. They're somehow better than the rest of us, even though they can catch it, even though they can spread it, all this other stuff. But we're just constantly told there's this big difference, but there's not.
If you have been exposed to the coronavirus and need to quarantine, there is a different guidance for people who are vaccinated and boosted than for the unvaccinated. But if you're infected and need to isolate, the recommendations don't change depending on whether you are vaccinated or not. Can you explain that for us?
Yeah. If you're infected, you're infected. Whether or not you're vaccinated or not vaccinated, you're infected. When you talk about exposure and quarantine, if you are a person who is vaccinated but not boosted versus a person who is not vaccinated because of the greater degree of protection that you would have gotten from being boosted, they're treating people who are vaccinated but not boosted as the same risk of those who are not vaccinated at all. And that's because that right now with Omicron, there's a great deal of difference in the level of protection that you get from being boosted following vaccination versus following vaccination alone.
You know, one of the things that's driving me nuts about this particular thing, this is the idea they have made the big deal saying basically the only way you survive all this is you got to get boosted. Well, what does that say to somebody who just got their second shot a month ago? No good? They're not even eligible for a booster for 6 months, but they're just still no good? And they're boosting them with the same stuff that was in the second shot. Does this, I mean, this seems to make absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. It seems like a ploy to sell more shots is what it sounds like. But there was also this. And when you look at the hysteria around testing right now that we are undergoing, and I'm going to talk about testing next hour because I found some things about the test that I think are should be known. Let me just put it that way. But when Anthony Fauci, when the mini Mengele Anthony Fauci comes out and says these things, it should just throw up all kinds of red flags about all of the numbers we've been fed for the last 20 months. I know I'm jumping around 18 months, 20 months, 22 months. I guess it's 22 months now, isn't it, that we've been going through all this. But when it comes to this testing stuff, it's absolutely insane how these numbers and the case demic that we're just freaking out about, even when Fauci himself come out and says things like this.
I want to ask about being contagious and transmissibility for a moment. You explained that the reason we do not need to test a requirement after a positive person isolates for 5 days is because the science says the odds of being contagious after those 5 days are low.
The science didn't change. So this has always been the case, yet they locked you down for 14 days, and these are still the people you are listening to?
Dr. Walensky has given a few additional reasons. She said a couple times today that a PCR test could give someone who had a COVID positive result for up to 12 weeks. So is a PCR test not a good barometer either for transmissibility and isolation length? I mean, how can people actually tell if they are contagious in the cycle of having COVID? How do you measure that if not with either a PCR test or an antigen test?
Yeah, that is a very good question, because a PCR doesn't measure replication competent virus. It measures viral particles, nucleic acid. So in other words, I could be infected, have cleared the replication competent virus from me, but I can continue to be positive with a PCR for several days after recovering and not being transmissible at all.
I mean, it just makes me want to bang my head against it. This is what WYAB has been telling you now for about 18 months. The flaws in this PCR test, that it would pick up fragments of something, that you were not a danger to anybody, not to yourself, not to your children, not to Nana, nobody. And we are still right now in the middle of a case demic with people lined up. What did I see the headline here? 600 cars in line at Missouri testing office. 600 cars in line burning fossil fuels, I got to say. That's Anthony Fauci explaining to you, oh, a test doesn't mean you're a danger. That doesn't mean you're infected. It doesn't mean you're going to get sick. It doesn't mean you're going to get anybody else sick. It could have been there for months. I mean, shouldn't this be a big headline where they just go, we're going to look at the last 2 years of case numbers and realize the vast majority of those people, they were never contagious to any. They were no danger to anybody. They could have gone to their offices, could have gone to their churches, could have gone to their businesses, could have French kissed a stranger, and nothing would have happened. This is Fauci telling you this. Of course, this is as they, now he's telling you this as they phase the PCR test out in favor of the test we'll talk about next hour.
So although a PCR is good to tell you if you have been, am I infected? Yes, I am infected. But the very fact that it's positive for, as the CDC director said, for several days and even weeks later, It doesn't give you any indication of whether or not you're transmissible.
And yet you have used it to lock people in their homes for months.
And I think that's the understandable confusion that people have about testing. Testing saying whether you're infected or not versus are you infected plus transmissible. The only way you could tell if it's transmissible, if you can show that there really is live replication virus in you, and the tests don't measure that. They measure the presence or absence of not of the virus.
Right.
And the virus could be dead, inactive virus that doesn't transmit.
Exactly what the inventor, Kerry Mullis, told us before he died back in 2019 that we've been talking about here on WYAB, I think across all show hosts. Anthony Fauci just admitted to you that we have done 2 years of testing that has driven a national psychosis all for no reason. We're ineffective tests that gave us absolutely no actionable intelligence on who to quarantine or the state of this illness for anybody or threat to society. A complete disaster, completely ineffective.
I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Maybe I lost weight. I'm playing hooky.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. When I play a clip like I played at the end of last hour, which is basically Anthony Fauci, not even basically, it's Anthony Fauci admitting that the PCR tests were just throwing off huge amounts of false positives. How do you not play that clip? How do you not point out that Anthony Fauci has just said publicly on air, I can't remember who that, I recognize the voice of the guy interviewing him, but I cannot place who it is. He says on national television, he says, yeah, these PCR tests, they're picking up dead fragments of COVID in your system. You might not have had it for months, and it's still picking it up. How do you not report that? And it's not about the fact that across the spectrum here at WYAB, our hosts have been telling you that for the past 18 months. It's not a "see, we told you so." It's just a, would you please look at this? You didn't want to listen to us for 18 months. Would you listen to Anthony Fauci tell you that these tests are ridiculous? And I've got now we're switching to this new rapid test. And so I've got information on that. I don't know how many of you listening right now, you've got your box at home, you test every morning, you're going to test your children before you send them back to school, and you hope all the other parents test their kids too. It's just going to be another swing and a miss. I mean, I'll tell you this now. A caller during the break said, how do you wake people up to this stuff? And I don't think you can. You can't force an awakening. It has to just happen. A lot of people are getting sick right now. I know several people who have been sick recently. And a lot of the people who had the shots are getting a little bit sicker than the other people. The Omicron may be God's way of saying, can we please move on? I'm going to throw a real mild one at you. You're going to see it's no big deal, number one. Number two, you're going to notice that the people that are monkeying around with the immune system that I gave you are going to suffer a little bit worse. I made this one really mild so that even when you have a worse outcome, it's still not catastrophic. It's just you're going to have a much, much worse cold / flu than the people who didn't, who trusted the immune system that I gave them and do things to bolster it. Maybe this is God's way of saying, enough of this. Can we please change the plot? I made you people smarter than this. So I don't know how I don't report on it. I'm going to get to testing in just a second. I'm trying to figure out. I've got a whole laundry list of clips to play here. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to get into the testing right now. Because right now, people have got boxes. They're getting them in the mail. They're swinging by their clinics. There's drive. I have not seen reports and local news. Admittedly, didn't watch a whole lot. I watched a lot of football. It was really very nice. I did a lot of sitting on my butt last couple of days watching football. College football. But I haven't seen any local news reports of any long testing lines here in Mississippi. Now, the headline today on Drudge is Southeast expected huge surge. So here it comes. It's coming. Look, this is what this weather does. This weather drives us inside. We stop getting our vitamin D and we start staying inside and swapping stuff. This is why I take my vitamin D. But the, you know, the Southeast, as we actually have a winter, if we have, it's going to get mild temperatures again. We may just hopefully get through without a really tough winter, which means people are still outside getting some sun. But anyway, the home test now, people have got them. They're going to, you know, this is going to continue to go. They've got the big contracts now. This is Abbott Labs, the pharmaceutical company. This is their moment in the sun. They've got to make hay while the sun shines. They're up to bat. Pfizer got the lead off. Moderna, they gave them a little something. Johnson & Johnson, teeny tiny little something. Abbott's Labs, who is putting out, I think, 75% of these at-home tests, this is their moment. This is when their lobbyists get paid. I ran across this story that broke down a lot about these home tests. A couple of things to note about them. Abbott's lobbyists won this one, and they provide about 75% of the rapid tests. They looked at some FDA documents around this Binax Now COVID-19 antigen self-test. This is the test that's manufactured by Abbott. Here's the key quote in the FDA document about these home tests. Quote, the reagent solution included in the test kit contains a harmful chemical. See table below. If the solution contacts the skin or eye, flush with copious amounts of water. If irritation persists, seek medical advice. Then the FDA document lists the harmful chemical, sodium azide. Just how harmful is it? For an answer, let's look at the CDC document titled, quote, Facts About Sodium Azide. We find this statement, quote, sodium azide is a rapidly acting, potentially deadly chemical that exists as an odorless white solid. Quote, sodium azide prevents the cells of the body from using oxygen. When this happens, the cells die. Sodium azide is more harmful to the heart and the brain than to other organs because the heart and the brain use a lot of oxygen, unquote. This is from the CDC. Now, this is a reagent thing. I have not taken a test. I had plans to go to New Orleans some over the break. But I'm not going down there because you have to have either a negative test or a shot to do anything in New Orleans now. I'm doing neither. So I just skipped that town. But this is a reagent. I guess I saw a description of how these home tests are done. Again, I've not done one. Some of you might have done one. You swab your nose. You put this Q-tip into some kind of a solution. You twist it three times. Then you close the lid on it. I think that's where this sodium azide is. Just don't let your kids munch on one of these test kits, because I think the thing that gives you the positive or negative thing, one of the reagents in there to cook up the diagnosis, is the sodium azide. That's just a fun little one. But how about this one? This is what I found more interesting about these home tests and this new case demic we have. This is on the heels of me playing the clip a second ago where Anthony Fauci said, look, this PCR test, it's picking up a bunch of people that aren't at all contagious, no nothing. They've just got this dead fragment of the virus in their system, and it's finding it. So the PCR test, no good. It uprooted the entire country for 2 years. It destroyed hundreds of thousands of businesses. It took a year of our children's lives away, sometimes 18 months of our children's lives away, drove people into complete hysteria. They've made all kinds of unwise, unhealthy choices for themselves. We have had increased drug overdoses, increased suicides, increase in disease that wasn't treated because people were scared to go out of their homes. But turns out that that test that drove this whole hysteria was no good. That's what Anthony Fauci just told you. So the home test now is where it's at, right? They're handing them out like Santa Clauses. FDA document in this piece I was looking at contains this gem. Quote, the Binax Now COVID-19 antigen self-test does not differentiate between SARS-CoV and SARS-CoV-2. So this would be the original SARS from 2003. In other words, a positive test indicating infection could mean nothing more than infection with the 2003 SARS virus, and that epidemic was a dud. Now, see, you could have still dead fragments of this old SARS virus in you back from 2003. This thing's been floating around since 2003. It was a dud. It wasn't a big deal. Someone might have had SARS when they thought they had the flu. Anyway, you might be able to find a little fraction of that, but that's not all. I don't know how many people have been exposed to the 2003 SARS. They have done testing and found out that anyone that was exposed to it has still, 18 years later, got immunity to SARS, because your innate immune system, your God-given immune system, is so intelligent. It's absolutely fascinating the way the human body works when you let it work the way it's designed to work. But there's more on these home tests. Listen to this. Quote, positive results do not rule out bacterial infection or co-infection with other viruses. The agent detected may not be the definite cause of disease. The person who tests positive could simply be housing bacteria in his body, and whatever germ the test is detecting may not even be causing the disease. So we've got another bad test to replace the formerly failed test, and this is driving the new case-demic, which has now shut down Jackson State. They've gone to online learning. They will not be the last. This is universities around the country. We will see, and particularly the Southeast, we've been spared. It's been like spring around here. People out jogging, riding their bikes, getting some exercise, doing their thing. But if we actually have a winter here, they're expecting that the Southeast will be the next place, the next big hot spot here. And I just encourage people just to look. And here's the other thing, too. If somebody starts to see how ridiculous this is, if they hear that Fauci interview and they say, oh, my God, Fauci just admitted that the PCR test was not good for anything. Basically, either the only time you were contagious was maybe like a day before you started having symptoms and when you were symptomatic, and that was it. There was no need for this massive amounts of PCR testing. If somebody sees, don't jump on them and go, I know, I've been telling you that for 2 years. We can't do that. Let people wake up. Give them some grace. Give them some room. Be kind. You can say things like, I know, isn't that crazy? And to think everything that we have done over the last 2 years based on these PCR test numbers, isn't that insane? Let them come with you. Don't beat them over the heads for ignoring this stuff for a while. People are going to start saying, you know what? I got double jabbed and boosted, and I still got COVID, and it kind of kicked my butt. You can tell them, say, yeah, I know. I was wondering about that because the CDC director said one time in Israel they were showing that people were at increased risk of more severe disease, and I thought that sounded a little funky, but I guess it's true. You know what I mean? Like, bring them along. Don't put them on their heels for ignoring what was glaringly obvious to you for the past 22 months. Let them come to you. Let people wake up. Give them some room. Give them some grace. Tell them you're glad to have them along for the ride. Let them wake up. Bring them over to our team. Don't tell them they were stupid for waiting this long to see. I think this Omicron may be God's gift to humanity to say, look, I'm just going to show you how absurd your hysteria is, number one. And I'm going to show you what happens when you tinker around with the immune system that I have given you with this new Fauci-led technology that he is foisting on everybody. This may be the saving grace. Joe Rogan and the Omicron may change the trajectory of this thing. We'll see. I'll be right back.
Menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
There is always something to be on the lookout for, too. I don't know if you saw this. They're rolling out some new terms on us, some new things to be afraid of. Of course, this is nothing new to us, but when you pay attention to it, it's almost comical. Now, I don't know. This is what when you hear it once, you got to get kind of develop a sense for these things where you can start feeling the new narratives being rolled out. Yeah, you might hear it once and you'll think it's a one-off or something, but I have a feeling this is about to catch a head of steam. The new disease.
The first case of what is being termed Florona disease was detected in Israel this week. Florona disease is a double infection of COVID-19 and influenza. The first case of Florona was...
Now, I'm no rocket surgeon. How is it that two diseases combine on you on once? Like at exactly the same time? They huddled up in a tree and they see you walking by. Let's get him. I mean, is it p- possible that one of them doesn't actually exist, that it's not really in with you? They just want to throw it in there? Is it hospitals worried a bunch of flu patients aren't going to pay out as well? This is the Florona. It's when you have the flu and corona at the same time. Now, maybe there's a mechanism. I'm not a doctor. I repeat this every single week to explain to you. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a virologist. I'm not a nothing. It just seems odd to me. I don't remember a time before where they were combining a lot of, you know, different diseases that would hit you at exactly the same time. But now we've got the Florona.
Was detected in a pregnant woman at the Rabin Medical Center, an Israeli newspaper reported. Israel has been reporting a steady rise in COVID-19 cases. On Thursday, the country's health ministry reported 5,000 new COVID cases.
Which is odd, of course, because they're so heavily vaxxed. Dr. Malone was on Joe Rogan, and he talked a little bit about Israel. There was a term for Israel that I hadn't heard, but I do think it's a good one.
You know, the pejorative these days is the country's name is actually Fizreal. It's no longer Israel. The Israeli people are very compliant with their government. And their government has a financial deal with Pfizer, obviously. Okay? And they only have Pfizer vaccine. And they're now on jab number 4. There's a natural experiment that's occurring in the Palestinian territory and the surrounding states. Those surrounding states in the Palestinian territory does not have that level of vaccine uptake at all. The mortality in the surrounding states and the Palestinian Authority is substantially less from this virus than the mortality in Israel.
Huh. Isn't that odd? You know, it's talking to these people offline today. You know, is 2022 the year that people wake up? Are the people of Israel going to wake up when their Palestinian neighbors who didn't take the shot are not on their 4th shot, their 5th shot, their 6th shot, but they're not having any problems from this? And I don't know if you've seen pictures of the Palestinian territory. It's not a bright, shiny place on planet Earth. Doesn't look like the most hygienic, the most advanced medical society on planet Earth, but they're sailing through this along with other African neighbors. Israel can look south and go, oh, man, the whole continent's doing well here, and we're the ones that have been the testing ground for Pfizer, so much so that people are calling us Fizreal, and we're having the worst outcome on the continent. I mean, something like I say, I don't think there's anything that we can do to wake people up, but I think people may be woken up. I wonder if the people in Australia can be woken up. We've talked a lot about how draconian things have been in Australia, but at least, I mean, as bad as the Australian government is to its people, at least on the backside, it's given them a little something-something.
It's been a long road to recovery for Matty John.
It's a really uncomfortable and quite a frightening experience.
He felt like he was having a heart attack 2 days after getting the Pfizer vaccine.
I just got this sharp pain that I've never experienced before in the centre of my chest.
Diagnosed with severe pericarditis, he was off work for 10 weeks. Matty's not alone. It's estimated 79,000 people have suffered adverse reactions to vaccines. Now the government's offering compensation. Claims under $20,000 will need evidence from your doctor. Claims over $20,000 assessed by a team of legal experts. The highest figure reserved for only the most serious of cases.
I think it could cost the government a lot of money.
Daniel Opare works at Shine Lawyers. He's looked closely at the government scheme.
If you do suffer pericarditis, it can result in you being out of pocket. You know, you might have to see a cardiologist, you might need procedures. So it is definitely appropriate that there is a vaccination scheme there to compensate those people.
But like all schemes, there are limitations. To make a claim, you must spend at least one night in hospital. And that's a clause that makes Matty John ineligible. Oh. He was admitted to hospital twice, but never stayed the night.
Oh, so close. The top payouts right now in Israel, as I understand, are $600,000 for a vaccine injury. Here in the United States, bupkis. You get zero, and you'll like it, slave. Sorry about that. Oops. So as bad as Australia is, as abusive as they've been to their citizens, at least, you know, when they start to slow kill you, they'll give you a little cash on the way out. Of course, these figures, you know, Australian medical system's probably not as expensive as the U.S. system, but a lifetime heart condition will cost you certainly more than tens of thousands of dollars, but at least they're picking up a small part of the tab in Australia, not so much here. Here we have stuff like this. We've had all the college football was out there. You know, this is just really, this is where we are. The Rose Bowl took place, when was that? On Saturday? My days are all confused. And of course, before the Rose Bowl itself, they have the Rose Bowl Parade. A long-standing tradition, added a new slant this year with one of the floats.
You know, Hannah, some Rose Parade floats exist only to entertain or be admired for their ingenuity and beauty, but other...
You can't have that. Send in the narrative float.
Rose Parade floats slip important messages amongst the flowers and the seeds. And the AIDS Healthcare Foundation's float is using this futuristic landscape to encourage equity in global vaccination and treatments for COVID-19. The robot nurse ready to administer vaccines, and she gets her orange color from dehydrated carrots and orange lentils. And her work isn't needed for the people participating in the parade today or attending the parade in the grandstands. Everyone here has to show proof of vaccination. And it's also the winner of the Queen Award for the most outstanding presentation of roses.
So, a robot nurse. I love the way they talk about, you know, kind of the sustainability of this float. It wasn't colored with chemicals. It was colored with dried out, what did they say, dried out carrots and orange lentil beans. While it promotes a chemical cocktail from one of the largest corporations that has paid out the most in corporate malfeasance fines in the history of mankind. That's just, but the flowers were gorgeous, and it was a sustainable pigmentation that was on this float. Holy cow, virtue signaling just runs headlong in with corporatism. It's so funny to see, but this is, you know, this is our new world, the Rose Parade. I'll be right back.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. On the dashboard melted, but we still have the radio.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number 601-879-0002. Most of my clips are out of the way now. If you have something, you got any prognostications for 2022? When I heard 2022 the other day, I was thinking, that's not 2022, is it? Like a movie sequel? Let's not go back. Let's try to move forward into something a little bit more interesting, I would say at the least. I watched a lot of college football this weekend. And one thing I've noticed that I don't know if anybody cares about or notices as well, I used to be a big advertising person. I think I should have gone into advertising. I used to love the... And still, some of the Super Bowl commercials are good. Super Bowl commercials are kind of like Saturday Night Live lately. They're more woke than funny. They've started virtue signaling with Super Bowl ads. It's one of the great tragedies of what's happened to our country in the past 3 to 5 years. Saturday Night Live, chronically unfunny. Late night TV, chronically unfunny. And Super Bowl ads, chronically unfunny and more sad and somber and supposedly inspirational. Anyway. Advertising is always, to me, it kind of reflects where people are. And this is why I say, man, you know, back in the 80s, the 90s, it was pretty good times around here. I got to tell you, I mean, people were kind of, we've gone in the 2000s, we've gone kind of a dark place to me. And this is why I encourage people, no matter how much you think you're fighting the system or whatever, don't let them take you into a dark, intense life. Fight your battles and then go live your life. But AT&T is a big sponsor of college football. Commercials are all over the place. And this has been bugging me for a long time, but I saw they've got some new ads rolled out now. AT&T is one of the largest, highest budget advertisers out there. And I don't know if you've seen these things. They are horrible. And what I mean by that is I don't know I've ever noticed, or maybe it's just never stuck out to me as much. AT&T has some of the most dumbed-down commercials I've ever seen. And they look like they're supposed to be funny somehow. There's a new one that was out this weekend where they were trying to explain how some people get a good deal and some people don't get as good of a deal, and so they give one kid a big lollipop and one kid a little lollipop. And the little lollipop girl goes, well, that's not fair. We know. And then the dad expects a lollipop at the end of this. I know I'm not describing this well, but it's just as boring and as dumb as I've just described. And when I look at these things and I think this has passed through some of the biggest minds in advertising. I'm talking about at the level of AT&T and your big advertisers, they're consulting social scientists. They are focus grouping stuff. They don't do an ad in the weekend because someone says, hey, get us an ad by Monday morning. And over the course of a weekend, a guy just films something. I mean, this is one of the biggest. And when I look at how dumb these commercials, how simple they are without actually just being factual, pretty easy to run a thing that says, we give the same deals to our customers that we have now as new customers. We want everybody having the best deal. Come on over. That's an ad. But they put these characters into their ads. And this has been going on for a while with AT&T. I don't think I've ever talked about it. But every time I see an AT&T, now I'm giving them free airtime right now, so maybe I just realized they've gotten over on me. But I'm certainly not encouraging anybody to use their products because I'm insulted by what they are doing. I'm either insulted by what they are doing and assuming we're that dumb, or I'm terrified by the idea that they know that the American population is this dumb to accept this as some kind of humor. Do people think these things are funny? I mean, is this where we are? I think that actually leads me into my next clip, because if this is the sense of humor of the American citizen now, if we have been dumbed down into this kind of way of thinking, and I'm sure you think I'm making too big of a deal of this. I can't stand being insulted. And when I see people talk, this is the big problem with Democrats. Democrats talk to all of their constituents like they're children. Like you just can't survive without us. Now, Republicans do the same thing in many different ways. But I hate being talked down. I hate being treated like a child. These commercials could not even be funny to a child. But anyway, if this is where we're headed, then I'm kind of encouraged by this story. I don't know if you saw this. They started getting some weird signals. They're pointing the microphone towards one of Jupiter's moons. And I'm so glad this clip still exists, because this clip was at the end of a story that doesn't even pertain to this. It just popped up as a video. It's a waveform on a screen, but I'm going to let you listen to it. They said, well, we got these strange signals from the moon of Jupiter. I don't even know if it says what moon it is. Doesn't Jupiter have several moons? Pretty big place. But anyway, this is what they heard, and I found this pretty fascinating. And I got to tell you, this may be the sound of aliens laughing at us. I'm not sure exactly what this would be. It could also be ground clutter, somebody messing with them. I don't know, but I find it fascinating. And I've told you before, if I see anything about UFOs or aliens, I'm clicking that link. I'm fascinated by these stories. Here's what they got when they were pointing the microphone at the moon of Jupiter. And that's it. I mean, that doesn't sound like something accidental. It sounds a little bit. It could have been cross interference with some kind of a rave. Have you ever heard of, what do they call it? It's techno music, but they've got a new name for it now. EDS, something like that. EDP. I can't remember what it is. It's electronic dance music. It kind of crescendos like that. They might have gotten, bounced off a cloud and hit a Miami rave or something like that. But this is supposedly coming from another planet. And I got to tell you, looking around, I may be kind of nice to think that there's something else intellectual. I hope they have a well-developed sense of humor when they get here. I'm willing to entertain it at this point. Anything. Anything. Humanity is kind of played out now. Right now, I'm open to something different. Be right back. All right, final segment for today. I was checking Zero Hedge during the break, and I love this headline. I think it's very accurate. The mainstream media is losing the fight of its life, all thanks to Joe Rogan. I talked about this last week. I think Joe Rogan is a very, very important member of our society right now. There's a whole host of reasons for that. One is, and I talked about this last week, he's having polite, respectful conversations with people he agrees with and disagrees with, letting them say their piece in a friendly setting, and letting hundreds of millions of people a month make up their own mind on every issue. Now, a lot of people, and you know, one of the things about talk radio, about Joe Rogan's podcast, the things I like about these spoken mediums is that people do them alone. You know, you may watch the news with your family, but most of these things, including talk radio, you know, one of the things I talk about a lot here on this show is that it's just you and me. Most people aren't huddled around a radio like we did in the 30s and 40s with the whole family, everybody doing this as a group thing. So I always think, you know, if you can peel somebody away from the herd and just have a polite conversation with them, you can get things into their brain that if they're within their tribe, if they're within their group, they just will refuse to admit. You know, the group, they look around everybody else in their group. Oh, wow, he just said something I didn't know, or that might change my mind. They'd look around to the rest of the group. Well, no one else seems to be acknowledging that that's something we should be paying attention to, so I'm not going to pay any attention to. You know what I mean? It's that group dynamic of what happens when you get into partisanship, when you get into parties, when you get the cult of COVID. It doesn't matter what it is. But when you sit with a pair of headphones on the treadmill and you listen to Joe Rogan, or you're riding around in your car listening to talk radio and it's just you and the person talking, there's always that possibility when you're not under the influence of your cult that you let something sneak in and it starts to eat away at you. I mean, there's a lot of Scientologists that have left the Church of Scientology, and they were all in for decades in many cases. Let's hope that a lot of the things that grip people right now, the cults that seem to grip people right now, do not last decades. But, you know, little things get in. Church of Scientology, somebody escapes, and, you know, a couple of the true Scientologists, and I don't want to pick on Scientology, it's any cult, a couple of the old cult members sit back and they go, hey, why'd Joe leave? I don't know. And, you know, first they probably just, he wasn't a believer, he's a heretic now, he must be shunned, blah, 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 but yeah, well, one of the reasons he said he was leaving was, and you know, that creeps into the mind, and suddenly somebody else leaves. And Joe Rogan has that power that he's talking, he's putting these ideas out there that you cannot get out on YouTube. Google will not let you see them. God knows the mainstream media is not going to let you see them. He's going around all of them, and he's crushing them in the ratings, doing it. People are more interested in more information in long form than they are in bites of Anthony Fauci saying the same thing over and over again, and people are noticing, dude, you've been talking for 2 years and you're telling us it's worse than ever. When do you sit down and shut up and let somebody else take control? Obviously, you've not done a good job here. Joe Rogan has these alternative people on. And it's not just stuff around COVID. You know, he's had Peter Schiff on there talking about the economy. I don't know how many Joe Rogan fans are out there, know nothing about economics whatsoever. And it's no big deal. I'm an economics nerd. I find it fascinating. But I know that's odd. Most people don't care about that. They don't care about the Federal Reserve. I know they don't. I'm trying to make them care because it matters. But Joe Rogan has Peter Schiff on. Peter Schiff was right about the housing crisis going into 2008. When all of the people, the Jim Cramers out there, were telling you, everything's great, go out and buy stocks. Peter Schiff was going, this is insane. We are going to have a complete meltdown. And they were laughing at him on the air, laughing. And then 2008 happens. And do you know what happened after that? Instead of lifting Peter Schiff up on everybody's on their shoulders and saying, we had one guy on that got this right. He knew the housing market was going to tank. He knew the stock market was going to crash. He knew it. He's the guy we need to go to. Do you know what the mainstream media did? They stopped him from going on any of their shows anymore. CNBC used to have Peter Schiff on. And the more Peter Schiff was right, the less they had him on. Because Peter Schiff went against the narrative, which is on CNBC, always buy stocks. Always encourage the Federal Reserve to print more money, because that's where it's Wall Street gets the money. So CNBC won't have Peter Schiff on. I think the last only place he's been on mainstream media in the past probably 4, 5, 6, 7 years has been Liz Claman. Has got a show on Fox Business, and somehow she's bucked the trend, and she's had Peter Schiff on. But most people are not familiar with Peter Schiff. But he got on Joe Rogan and did 3 hours talking about the economy. And I guarantee you there are a lot of Joe Rogan listeners out there that are understanding things like why gold and silver are real money and can protect you in a bad time, what the Federal Reserve is and the disastrous things it's doing. Joe Rogan's giving a platform to those people, and he's crushing CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS, and me, crushing all of them and taking people straight to there, to these alternative voices. And he seems to be uncancelable. He's gone to something called Getter now. I guess this is a Twitter alternative. He sees the handwriting on the wall. This is what I never understood, why Donald Trump did not leave Twitter, did not leave Facebook and take his followers, his 100 million followers, take them somewhere else and get another tech company a chance. He didn't do that until after the election. And again, I will admit, I will tell you, Donald Trump was setting up to go to Gab, but because Gab wouldn't censor anti-Israeli voices, Trump said, we're not going there. Trump actually would not go to Gab unless they would do their own form of censorship. But this is, you know, Joe Rogan is waking up a lot of people because people don't know really what they're going to get when they tune in. A lot of people tuned into Joe Rogan because they liked Joe Rogan and they saw Dr. Peter McCullough or Dr. Robert Malone. They didn't know who that was. Probably the vast majority of people listening to Joe Rogan, they didn't know if they were going to get an Anthony Fauci type guy or an anti-vax guy or whatever. And it's so funny, the mainstream media flailing at Joe Rogan, even though they're reaching just a tiny percentage of what Joe Rogan reaches on a daily basis. And they're running headlines of things like Joe Rogan hosts this anti-vax guy. They're calling one of the inventors, one of the guys whose science led us to mRNA vaccines, not just mRNA technology, but the vaccine application specifically. They're calling him an anti-vaxxer. The guy's even had the shots. He took them kind of on faith and having been one of the inventors of these things. Now he's seen this guy, even the guy whose life's work was dedicated towards this kind of science around these shots, even he's got open eyes. I mean, how many of us are willing to criticize our own professions or look inwardly and say that we got something wrong? That's really hard. He's done it. And the mainstream media trying to paint him as some kind of an anti-vaxxer. But the Joe Rogan thing right now is it's very interesting. We'll see. And they're going to have to throw everything they can at him to cancel him. And I don't agree with Joe Rogan on a whole long list of things. He was a bit of a Bernie bro. But, you know, that's the goodness in Joe Rogan. I think he's got some of that good-hearted liberal stuff. I would just challenge him economically. And that's what Peter Schiff did. But Joe Rogan had him on anyway. He has respectful conversations with people he agrees with and disagrees with. They have a back and forth that lasts about 3 hours, and hundreds of millions of people a month are tuning into these shows. It's really, really quite fascinating. I'm going to leave you with this. This was also on Zero Hedge. They had a call, you know, we're not going to ever get any true information from Anthony Fauci or Thomas Dobbs. Never. They're never going to admit that they were wrong about anything. They're never going to reverse course. They'll change, but they'll say they were right before. They'll do the exact opposite and say they're right again. And they'll tell you all of it's based on science. It's bizarre. It doesn't work, but apparently it's working on a lot of people. So you have to look to strange little corners to find out the truth on stuff. Listen to this. The death rate for those 18 to 64 has risen an astonishing 40% over pre-pandemic levels. Those are ages 18 to 64. This is according to the CEO of Indianapolis-based insurance company One America. He said, quote, "We are seeing right now the highest death rates we have seen in the history of this business, not just at One America." Again, he runs a life insurance company. The increase represents, quote, "huge, huge numbers among," quote, "primarily working age people." And this is what he said. "And what we just saw in the third quarter, we're seeing it continue into the fourth quarter, is that death rates are up 40% over what they were pre-pandemic." He said, "just to give you an idea of how bad that is, a three sigma or a 1 in 200 year catastrophe would be 10% increase over pre-pandemic. So 40% is just unheard of." This is a life insurance guy coming out and giving you just actuarially stuff. He does not implicate anything in this. He just says, this is really bizarre. This is four times what we would expect to see once in every 200 years with some kind of a catastrophe. Death rates of working age people, 18 to 60, what did I say, 69? Up 40%. That's something you would think that we'd be paying attention to, don't you think? According to Dawson, this guy, the majority of deaths being filed are not classified as being due to COVID-19. There's the punchline. Majority of deaths being filed are not classified as due to COVID-19. 40% mortality increase, unheard of, in our working age population, not from COVID. Gee, I wonder what that could be. See you tomorrow.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter.